Zoomer Radio, and that's the Four Tops 1964 hit, Baby, I Need Your Lovin'. On the Morning Zoom with Sam and Jane, I'm Marissa Lennox, and for Sam.
And I'm Jane, and we are having a hot and humid week in Toronto.
Indeed.
But so far this summer, it has not been a scorcher in southern Ontario. In many spots around the world, though, it is a different story. In fact, July is on track to be the hottest month on Earth in 120,000 years. Joining us to talk about what this means for humankind, Environment Canada's senior climatologist, Dave Phillips. Thanks for being with us, Dave.
Well, Jane and Marissa, nice to join you. You know, I used to think about the lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer, and now it's about boiling and basting and apocalyptic, kind of taking the fun out of the warm season.
Oh, absolutely. How significant is this record-breaking July for our planet?
Well, it is, no matter which way you look at it. I mean, we're certainly headed this way. It all sort of came to together in 1 month. I mean, we've had the warmest days. In fact, what was most startling to me, I mean, the fact that it's the warmest 120,000 years is pretty shaky. But the fact that the 30 warmest temperatures on record, They have 21 of them have occurred here in July and globally, and we still have a week to go. So I mean, it's pretty definite in terms of what this is and what the cause is. I mean, when you look back at 120,000 years ago, I mean, we're talking about the history of recorded man and women in this world, and I mean, the highest carbon dioxide levels in that period was back, say, 120,000 years ago. It's about 280 parts per million. Right now, it's about 420. So there's no doubt about it. This stuff is coming out of our tailpipes and smokestacks. And so, hey, we're responsible, and hey, we got to do something about it.
Dave, can you just indulge me? I mean, how do we know 120,000 years that it's the hottest in 120,000 years? People weren't even around back then. How do we know that?
Marissa, that's a very good question, really a good one. And you know, we've had thermometers, say, to back to 1850 or maybe a few years prior to that. But generally, in many areas, thermometers around 1850. And that's why we talk about the fact that this is the warmest in certainly since 1850, but likely to go back 120,000 years. And the reason we know that is that we don't have thermometers, but what we have are sort of geological and biological evidence through tree rings, ice cores, sediments. You know, in Antarctica, they can core down those ice cores to 100,000, 800,000 years. And they can sample the little bubbles that are trapped in that ice, and they can do a chemical analysis on the bubble, and they can say, well, okay, how much of that was oxygen? How much of that was CO2? How much of that was nitrogen? And so we can do a pretty good analysis based on that. And so that's why we know what the CO2 levels were like, 100,000 plus years ago. So we know what they were like back in that, and we can also deduce from the biological records of what plants, what creatures were existing at that time, and we can sort of almost reconstruct the climate based on the evidence from geological and also biological remains.
So, Dave, as we hear horror stories literally from around the globe about heat, you know, 37 degree water at the tip of Florida,
yes,
record-breaking temperatures all around the world, is it inevitable that it's going to continue this way, or are there efforts underway to reverse what's going on?
You know, the sad news is you can't reverse it. I mean, all of that CO2 is in the atmosphere, is going to be there. If we can't scrub it out. And so really what we're doing by saying, okay, let's cut back on our emissions, it was just preventing it from becoming worse. It's the direction is up and outward. And the other thing we have to do now is, okay, we can cut back and try to do a good job there, but we have to learn how to cope with it, how to say, okay, suck it up, it's here. Now, how do we cope? How do we make people safer and and more secure and from the wild weather that's occurring. It's not just the warm temperatures. It's all of the extremes that it creates. And we've seen examples in that. You know, Canada's not been very hot this summer. Clearly not in southern Ontario. We've had some warm temperatures out west and in the north. But we've seen the results of it from forest fires. We had the worst fire season on record. Records in British Columbia, Alberta, Quebec, Nova Scotia. And so the results, the fallout from those warm temperatures and dryness are the forest fires. And so we're seeing that. And so we may not see the heat waves here in Canada, but we're seeing the other results of it, you see. So it is a bit scary, and we have to, hey, how to deal with it, how to stop forest fires, how to control that. And so it's a matter of just saying, okay, how do we do things differently now to take into account that the world is really changed?
A conversation that will continue. Thanks so much, Dave, for putting all of this in perspective for us.
Thank you very much, guys, for inviting me aboard. Bye-bye now.
Bye now. Environment Canada senior climatologist Dave Phillips.